Jim, a middle-aged man of average height and with thinning hair, makes his way along a dimly lit corridor. Control, a frail, elderly man with a furrowed brow, opens the door and stares at Jim with suspicion in his eyes.
You weren't followed?
No.
Better come in.
The owner of the flat has a dressing gown on over his clothes, and he shuffles his way back to a wide, cluttered desk.
Trust no one, Jim. Especially not in the mainstream.
Piles of books and office files are spread across every surface of the large, dusty room.
Sit down.
Jim casts his eyes around for a space to sit amongst the heaps of paperwork. Puffing on a cigarette, Control collapses into his chair. Jim takes a seat facing the old man across the desk.
I understand you still have one Hungarian identity running.
I do.
Control draws pensively on his cigarette, then leans forwards.
I want you to go to Budapest. This is not above board. Nobody else knows. They're after my head, Jim boy. Do you understand?
Two Soviet jets race across the grey skies over the Cold War city of Budapest. By the time the children hear the planes, they've already passed by. The Baroque architecture of the city appears shabby, and the streets are filled with rickety old cars. Jim makes his way along a rain-washed street, dressed in casual clothes and carrying a light backpack.
I have had an offer of service. A Hungarian general wants to come over. I would like you to meet him.
A thin man in a black turtleneck and jacket heads towards Jim.
He has some information that I need, Jim.
Back in Control's flat, Jim studies the face of his boss.
What information?
Treasure.
Jim follows the man in the turtleneck jumper down a street.
He has the name of the mole the Russians have planted in the British intelligence service. Right at the top of the circus.
Jim trails the man coming out of a subway.
There's a rotten apple, Jim. We have to find it.
At a cafe in a near-empty shopping arcade, the man speaks to Jim in Hungarian. I'm Porklots. You know Porklots? Yes, I've had it, he replies. It's very good, better than goulash. But you won't get it in Budapest now. Why is that? Asks Jim. All the pigs have gone to Moscow, he answers, as a waiter brings coffee to their table. They sit in stony silence while the waiter serves them. Beads of perspiration run down the waiter's neck, and a drop falls onto the table. It lands near the man's Communist Party membership card. Musicians are playing in a bar nearby. Munching on a pastry, the man looks around at a woman tending a baby. Jim asks the man, "When will I meet your friend?" He replies casually that he will turn up at any moment now. Jim fixes a stare at the man who averts his eyes. The man forces a modest smile and continues eating his cake. The man sees something and suddenly freezes. Jim follows the direction of his eyes up to a balcony where an elderly woman is watching them. He excuses himself from the man and gets up hurriedly, knocking over his seat. The waiter hurries out of the restaurant, gun in hand.
Stop!
Stop the operation, shouts a KGB agent as he throws down his headset. Secure the street exit. Put your gun away. Jim falls to the floor. You fucking Hungarian amateurs. I told you, secure the street. He continues. Look what you've done, idiots. The woman is slumped over her baby, blood oozing from a bullet hole in her head. Why are you all moving? Stay in your positions. We wanted him alive. Back in London, a small group of intelligence officers are seated in front of Control, who eyes them all suspiciously. A stoic grin crosses his face before he picks up a document headed Chief of the Secret Intelligence Service and signs it with the initial C. The letter is dated 14th November, 1973. The men are seated facing one another, but they avoid all eye contact. Control sets down his fountain pen.
Do you witness this for me?
I wish I could have done more, Control.
You did all you could, Percy. Well, a man should know when to leave the party.
A balding man in a bow tie watches as Control drains his whiskey.
What about Smiley?
Smiley is leaving with me.
Smiley turns his head to Control, as though reading his face before giving a nod of acceptance. Outside the room, the man in the bow tie hushes another colleague from their conversation as Control exits past them. He mockingly waves farewell behind the old man's back.
You little prick, Esterhaus.
Hayden turns sharply and walks away from Esterhaus. The room is a large factory floor with semi-partitioned walls forming a cluster of working areas. Smiley walks a few paces behind Control, who leads the way down the building's internal staircases rather than by a lift. Their route takes in each floor at a time, and in every office, heads turn as they make their way out of the building. Amongst the cast of Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, Control is played by John Hurt, with Gary Oldman as George Smiley. Mark Strong plays Jim Prideaux. David Denchik is Toby Esterhaus, and Colin Firth plays Bill Hayden, with Toby Jones as Percy Allerline, and Kieran Hines as Roy Bland. The heart of the Secret Service is a detached modernist block that stands in the courtyard of a much older, grandiose brick building that forms a ring around the circus. From a balcony on the old building, Allerline and Bland watch their colleagues depart. Smiley has immaculate, thick grey hair combed back. He's wearing a raincoat and has a scarf and gloves on. One arm is heavy with the weight of a leather Gladstone briefcase packed with documents. Control's face is weary as he shuffles past the doorman and exits through a turnstile. The exterior of the building is surrounded by security railing and barbed wire. Control pauses outside the entrance to look back at the external facade of the circus building. Smiley goes up to him, and the pair look each other in the eye. Control shrugs and heads off, leaving Smiley standing alone. Back inside the building, a woman janitor places a dossier into an internal delivery system and dispatches it upstairs. Smiley is woken up in bed. The room around him is immaculate and elegantly furnished. He reaches for his glasses and stares at his disheveled face in the mirror. On his dressing table are colognes and grooming equipment. The dossier continues its progress to the fifth floor of the Security Services building, a level where, in another room, a small meeting is assembling.
Gentlemen, shall we start?
A janitor collects the dossier and transports it to a different location. Smiley is swimming in a pond on Hampstead Heath. It's a cold, misty autumnal morning, and the vigorous exercise is warming. Back at the circus, the dossier is placed in a secure cabinet in a private office. Smiley walks across the heath, then pauses in contemplation. In a hospital ward, Control's body lies slumped over the side of his bed. Smiley makes his way to an optician's. In the surgery there, the man drops a lens into his ophthalmic equipment and calibrates the dial. When Smiley leaves the shop, it's raining. He examines his reflection in a high street window with his new glasses on. Time has passed and the heath is covered with snow, but Smiley continues with his outdoor swimming routine. He walks back home with his towel tucked under one arm. The street where he lives is a row of Georgian houses with white paintwork and black railings. Smiley stoops down at his front door to remove a slither of wood that's wedged between the door and the frame. In his hallway, there's a narrow table with an empty bowl on it. Smiley drops the wooden marker into this bowl and continues going into his living room. He sorts the morning's mail into two piles, letters addressed to him and those for his wife.